the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrandtHanson.com.
If you're listening and you're like, who is this guy? My voice is a little different. I'm sick.
You're actually getting better physically, but your voice is always lasting.
But I realize I sound bad. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, good disclaimer.
Do you think it sounds kind of cool? I mean, it does, right?
A little rough around the edges.
Kind of edgy. I sound like those guys they have on the radio stations, on the rock stations or whatever, that'll be like, coming up on Power 98.7.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, they're like habitually sick.
That's the problem.
The city's home for rock. And I don't feel good right now. I'm just going to be honest. You know, mine, here's another story from the trip I just got back from. And I only bring this up because maybe, like me, you struggle in the faith department a little bit. I sure do. Some people come by faith really naturally. It's like this gift, and I don't. But when I get to see something that actually makes sense to me, like seems like a Jesus thing, I stand up and pay attention. And I got to play with a kid named Ahmed, and I don't know if he's 12, 13, or 14 years old, but I was doing coloring books with him, and they told me his story as I was doing coloring books with him. And this was in the ward at the Children's Hospital, Cure International. And we're coloring, you know, lobsters or something, some goofy Sea World thing or whatever. But we're having a good time with it. They said, oh, he was, the reason he's here is he was machine gunned. He had a gunshot wound in his leg. He and five other kids were shot. And this happened in his village. Some basically terrorists just came in and started killing people. And the fact that he and his family were so happy to be there, they didn't come from a Christian background. They're Muslim, but he's watching the Jesus film over and over, and his family was soaking up the love and seeing him stitched back together when no one else could do it, and seeing his leg healed, and seeing people come from afar to play coloring books with him and stuff. Like, to them, this was amazing. Like, tell me about your God who does that, who actually cares about our son, and these doctors and surgeons that cared so much, and nurses and everybody who welcomed them. I'm like, this makes sense to me. Because a lot of people look at religion and they see destruction and they see terrorism and they blame it on religion and God. And when I see Jesus in action, I'm like, there's nothing else like that. Nowhere else in the world is like that. Gotta tell you something. This is so great, by the way. If you're new to the show, you may hate it. And you may hate it for a day until you start to understand it. Mm-hmm. You may hate it for a week. You may hate it for a month. We're asking you to stick through the hate.
Please do.
I just got a tweet from a woman who says, she's very honest in her tweet, I hated you for years.
That's the longest period of time someone willing to stick with it.
Yeah, she actually hashtagged it, through the hate. Because she said, either I've changed or you've changed.
Either way, we're friends. And that's awesome. All you can ask for.
I know, like, that is the best tweet I have ever gotten. She's like, I hated you for years, but now it's okay. I'm like, thank you. I accept. Hey, if you're new to the station, you should know this station is about God and how good he is and what he's done for us through Jesus and changed everything. For some people, this is a tough thing to take because, well, I can tell. I read, you know, books by atheists or comments by atheists and follow them on Twitter and whatnot. And there's this thing about how could God allow suffering? How could he do this? No God would ever do that. And so they're so alienated by that they walk away from him. And what's interesting, I just spent the last several days at a hospital with kids who are at the absolute bottom of the world's barrel in terms of social power. Like, they have disabilities, they're poverty stricken, they're in pain, physical pain. They're not allowed to go to school. They've grown up and maybe being cloistered in their own homes, not let outside because they're considered cursed. You'd think they'd be the ones going, who is this God you're talking about? They clamor for him. In the hospital, we have a little playroom. They'd set up the Jesus movie, the Jesus film, which is dated and it's a little old and whatnot, but they would show that, and everybody from the ward, moms, dads, kids, would cram in there to watch this thing over and over and over, not only in their own language, but other languages. And they'd be like, look what he's going to do here. Muslims would do this. Look what Jesus is going to do. They want to see, they want more of him. And they're the ones who are suffering. Like, so for the people here in the West, a lot of times we're like, oh, how could a good God allow this? Well, the people who are actually enduring it, they turn to him. They're yearning for him. He's the answer. Little extra podcasty thing here. I'm about to really annoy some people.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm glad we're able to do this.
I realize talking about this is lose-lose because because I want to talk about a show that I think is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of fans of this show right now.
Oh, boy.
So I lose with them. And then I'll lose with people who never watched it in the first place. Mm-hmm. They're like, why would you even watch that?
Okay.
So this is, there's no win here.
All right. And I don't know what it is, so this should be good.
I'll tell you right now.
Do I watch it?
I hate this show. Hate.
What is it?
Stranger Things on
Netflix. Oh, Brant.
Hate it.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you watched it?
No, but everybody is talking about it. So, yeah, this is a really, really terrible thing to do.
Really, really hate it. And I realize I've done this before with Anne with an E.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was so excited about that show after the first episode, and then I was like, oh, I cannot believe this. And I know I sound curmudgeon-y, and I'm sorry.
So what's the problem? I have not watched it, but everybody's talking about it.
Well, the first series I got through, and it was compelling in that this girl is friends with these middle school boys, and she's got this supernatural background and whatnot. You're trying to piece all the mystery together.
Okay.
And it's an amalgamation of different 80s.
I was going to say, so people who have talked about it have been, it's compelling because of that. If you grew up in that area, you know
that's clever. There's these, you know, nods to these different movies and stuff, some of which I wish I hadn't watched, but you know, some of them were great. And so, all right. So that was clever. But there was this relational thing about this girl who's the ultimate misfit. I mean, she doesn't fit in with these misfits.
Right.
They're nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so far apart, and they're learning, like the yearning that she has to have someone love her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about.
Okay.
And there's some supernatural elements to that. And this new series is just the cheapest attempt at having a story. There is no story, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. There's no motivation for what people are doing. There's characters that are introduced, like, by the fifth, sixth episode, why are they there?
Mm.
Like the bad guy with a Camaro. I don't understand. Like, you have to nail this down for me.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point? It's disconnected from Eleven, like her story. That's her name.
Okay.
She's disconnected from the guys that was the whole appealing
thing. This is for the second season.
Yeah, and they try to build tension the cheapest way, which was with special effects that are like slurpy, snaky, you know, underground humanoid, like reptilian monster stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so not only that, like the slurping sounds of attacking somebody and, all right,
okay,
got it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also at the end of every scene, practically, when they're about to switch into another scene, there's this crescendo of sound. It'll be,
dun! Like a musical kind of thing?
Yeah, it's just like to try to build tension. If you took the sound out, there wouldn't be any tension.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's part of the thing, but like it's so heavily leaning on the special effect and that stuff and not the story. And I just saw the last episode and I told my wife, like, I'm done with this. I can't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally gone off the rails for me.
Mm-hmm.
Was they did a whole episode set in Chicago where she takes up with this punk group of Mohawk people.
Okay.
And it's a one-off. It has nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't play into the story. It's just a whole, like, you guys are just writing words right now, and you're just enjoying so much just doing your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's indulgent. It's pretentious. It's ponderous. There's no motivation behind the characters and how they behave.
Yeah, I was going to ask, whenever things go off the rail for me and I can't take it anymore is when I don't know who I'm supposed to be rooting for.
I don't get it. Well, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand the motivation. Where are the parents? Like, and I know that's part of the 80s thing is where did the parents go?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But still, there's the teen sex thing there too, which makes no sense. It's very weird.
I hate things like
very
that.
Weird with this weird guy that's hanging out with these two teenagers and they stay overnight at his house and he's just this creepy guy who's making jokes about them together. Like what? Who? What? It just doesn't add up. So I know I sound cranky and curmudgeon-y, but this is a hot take. I have to sound. Okay. All right. I have to have an opinion.
Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Brad Hansen has a hot take on Stranger Things.
I had to bail. I'm like, doggone it.
I haven't seen it. People have suggested it.
Yeah.
But you know how I am. Like when people are like, see it. I'm always like, no, I'll pass.
No, you know what? When that, you have to see this movie or you have to see this show, yeah, or you have to is always wrong.
Always?
That's another hot take. You don't have to do anything.
I know you don't have to, but people are typically wanting you. They like it, and they want you to like it, too.
I know they want you to, but there is no have to.
No, there's no
have to. There's no have to.
Look, I really feel like we're up in the balcony at the Muppet Show.
I know. Everything stinks. Part of it is because I liked the first season.
Yeah, that's hard. That is hard. When you like the first season and the second season, you're like, I don't understand this.
What are you doing?
Yeah. And I'll give a hot take and say that for the Netflix shows that I have watched, that's a theme.
Where they lose it.
Yes. The first season is like, yeah. And then the second season is like,
yeah.
What? Why?
Right.
Yeah.
You have your thing, and now you're just leaning into whatever you thought made it special.
Yes. And without any development.
Story.
Or yes. Yep. Yep.
Always about the story. You can tell a story with stick figures, and people, I'll watch it if it's a really good story. You want to know what happens next. And if you don't have a good story, then you can have all the slurpy reptiles and all that.
I don't understand. If I don't understand the motivation, and I don't know who to root for, I don't know who or why I'm rooting for that person.
Why are you acting that way?
Yeah.
What is happening? And it's also like they didn't acknowledge the things that really happened in the first season. Like, no, they wouldn't behave this way given what they already know from the first season.
Oh, man, that really irritates me.
Like they just woke up and it's a new day. They're just a blank slate after these
remarkable.
And then
what has happened is, if I feel like you've abused my time from the last one, because that's not how she talks in the last one, and you're not telling me why she's talking this way now.
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah.
What?
All right. Now, there are people listening that absolutely love this series.
I know, and
do you have anything you want to say to them?
I'm sorry. I am. It's okay if you like it. It is. And I'm saying there's another group, too. It's like, why would you even watch it? And I respect your opinions on that, too.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, this take has taken a different. This isn't as hot.
I know.
This is
not as hot. What do you mean you respect everybody? What are you doing?
That's not hot.
Oh, by
That's
the way,
hot take.
Another thing we can talk about.
Okay.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of mine have a really good podcast called Cooper and Carey. They're both British guys.
Okay.
Cooper and Carey. Carey is C-A-R-Y. He's actually a comedy writer in England.
Okay.
Cooper is a guy who we've had on the show. He's the British guy that was here.
I want to point out that in essence, what you have done here.
What?
Is point back to yourself.
Because we're very similar.
Yes.
He's got a cooler accent.
You look alike.
We
he has the accent. You have the same kind of. Remember when we did the interview and I had to leave?
Right.
Because it felt like, there was just two Brants and like I didn't know how to handle that.
We're very similar. We look very similar. And
and he cracked you up.
He cracked
Which is
me
so
up.
Funny because it's just you cracking you up.
That's true. Sorry. That's really true.
So, okay, what is it? Cooper and Carey?
Cooper and Carey. And I don't bring it up to plug their podcast, although that's certainly, you should check it out. But they brought up an issue, which was Jesus funny? And I wanted to get your take on that as somebody who writes comedy and just has a terrific sense of humor. Like, what do you think? I can tell you what they concluded, which is, yes, he's funny. Now, what do you think?
I saw humor. Now, whether he was intending, he was definitely ironic. And it was definitely, to me, I thought, just pointed out things that the irony of how people were seeing things based on their own behavior and their own way of being. There were things that he did that I found very funny. But I just don't know if he was intending to be funny.
Huh. Yeah. You know what? In Cooper and Carey, like, I appreciated what they were saying about irony, or you would say this. I can't find the hilarity.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I'm somebody, I know God has a sense of humor, but he's also a man of sorrows. I don't find it, like some people said when he talked about taking the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of, like, see, he's hilarious. I'm like, I don't think that's that funny. So I know it sounds bad, he might have been funny off the record,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't see it as much. There's some verbal interplay that I think is like, makes me smile,
mm-hmm.
amusing. And they pointed this out too in the podcast, which I think is true. It's a setting where he's going somewhere and the woman is a Gentile and she wants his attention. And
yeah.
he says something about
the dogs
and,
yeah.
And you know, scraps of food.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought he was kind of turning towards his disciples saying that, because it sounds racist
mm-hmm.
when he says it.
Yeah.
And they interpreted it the same way I did, which is he is turning to the disciples going, well, you know, she's a dog, right?
Right.
I mean, shouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, like, good answer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you what you want.
Right.
So they volleyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked it. And I think he was probably laughing when he said that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think it was ha-ha, ba-dum-bunk, funny stuff. But there's stuff, I mean, even when the Good Samaritan story, right? He love your neighbor, love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's a guy that raises his hand, and well, who is my neighbor? And the Bible says it's in an effort to justify himself.
Right.
And he says there once was a man. Well, that in and of itself is funny to me. Because who is my neighbor? There once was a man. Like, to just go right launch into a story there.
Right.
But that's funny to me. I'm not sure he was attempting to be funny. And even just discussing this, people will lose their minds. Like,
you think so?
Yeah, because I think because we don't think there's anything reverent about laughter.
Oh.
Because we use the Mary Hart does good like a medicine, but we don't, in our churches and in our church culture and the way I grew up, there was nothing holy about laughter. There was nothing spiritual about laughter. So to even suggest that there was something funny about Jesus in some way may seem irreverent.
Well, I think it goes both ways, because I think a lot of people will be repelled by suggestion that he's not funny.
I could agree.
Like, no, he's hilarious.
It's not normal church culture.
Well, I agree. But also, like, to Sherry's point, like, if a pastor, speaker, preacher gets up there and he's speaking and he uses some jokes,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, see, we love humor here. It mm-hmm. is holy. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
But we won't really consider him to be spiritual at that time.
Yeah, that's
like,
correct.
Okay, he's going to get spiritual.
Yes, yes. And he can do both.
And spiritual means solemn.
Yeah.
But he better get solemn, because that's when the spiritual stuff happens. It's not, so that alone kind of gives away the game.
Yes.
Like, we don't think that laughter is necessarily a spiritual thing.
No.
Now, Sherry and I do.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And we actually think it's going to be a central part of heaven. And I suspect it was a central part of Eden. So I think we get back to that. I think kids laugh a lot. We talked about the statistics about kids laughing,
mm-hmm.
you know, 10 times more than adults do. I think that's part of being childlike and humble, is you have an easy laugh. And you find things that are funny because you're interested. I think it's part of being interested, intellectually engaged. You could see overlapping but incompatible frames of reference, which
yeah.
is what humor actually is.
And that's what I felt, even growing up. If there's anything that made me feel like a spiritual misfit, it was that.
Just finding everything funny.
Everything's funny, and I'm not, and it's not goofy, goofing off, or it really was. I understood it. People made me feel like I wasn't as intelligent. No, I understand what I understand what you're saying, and I find it ridiculous.
No, that's why. I mean, we know better now, right?
Yes.
It is typically, we understand that a sense of humor is related to intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that you can find frames of reference
mm-hmm.
where other people don't,
right,
and overlap them
mm-hmm.
and start laughing, and other people are like, what are you laughing about?
Mm-hmm.
Or I missed the whole joke,
mm-hmm.
but other people are laughing.
Yeah.
Because they are able to make a connection.
Yes.
All this to say, I don't know if I'd say he was funny, but there are funny moments.
I'll tell you what, deep down, I think I need him to be.
I think I need
to believe that he was.
Okay.
Because then if I feel like he wasn't, it takes me back to that part of my childhood where I'm distant from him.
I got you. But what about this? What about the idea that Jesus in his earthly ministry
mm-hmm.
was not very comedic,
mm-hmm.
but God is the funniest of all.
Mm.
And I believe he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like for that particular purpose
mm-hmm.
at that time, in that place, and what we have left of it, you know, written down,
mm-hmm.
But still, God has the deepest sense of humor of all, and he created us with one to his glory. So I think that would bring some hope back into it. Like, the big picture, God's deeply funny.
I think so.
I think so, too.
I hope so.
Bob Dylan said that he thought heaven would be echoes of laughter, and I always like that. I think that's true. So, hey, thanks for listening to this. Rambling. So, Stranger Things, big thumbs down. Big thumbs up on Jesus.
There'll be a quiz later.
Just a bunch of opinions you can't respond to live. Frustrating, huh?
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.